preaching teaches the Word of God. A church where gospel music honors the Lord. A church where the focus is teaching God's Word. Look no further. First Conservative Baptist Church would be honored to have your family join their family. FCBC, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number, if you want to jump in on the conversation today, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts in relationship to the 180-degree turnaround with Mark Zuckerberg and the others with the big tech social medias that all of a sudden they say we're going to stop the censorship? I'll read a brief headline, and then we'll take our next caller. Meta ends fact-checking. Goes on to say Meta ending its fact-checking program in the United States. It goes further than after President-elect Donald J. Trump was elected in 2016, Meta started fact-checking all programs. Third parties would tackle some topics, leading to the post being removed or flagged. It's time to get back to our roots, Zuckerberg says, around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in his interview, the fact checkers have become too political and too politically biased and have destroyed more truth and trust than they created, especially in the U.S., according to Mark Zuckerberg's statement. Zuckerberg said, what started as a movement has increasingly been used to shut down opinions, to shut out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far, he said. Even if they accidentally censored just 1% of the post, that's millions of people that have been censored, and we've reached a point where it is just too many mistakes. Too much censorship, Zuckerberg said, end quote. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, preacher. You know, I watch these cop shows on TV, and sometimes somebody will run over somebody or rob somebody or even try to kill a cop. And then when the cop has them on the ground and he's handcuffing them, they always say, what did I do? What did I do? I didn't do anything. So whenever these people get caught, you know, that's what they do, what Mark Zuckerberg is doing and all these people are doing. They got caught, and the devil's not stupid. He doesn't want Trump to drain the swamp. So that's what these people are doing. What did I do? What did I do? And they're trying to gain sympathy, and they'll probably get it also.
You're exactly right, Bob. Now, I have great consternation and concern when these people now just flowing in and out of Mar-a-Lago, courting President Trump, providing millions of dollars into the Trump transition team. And I don't say whether he should or should not take it, but it's obvious that it's an attempt to buy hush money, attempt to buy with that money to buy hush or to buy favor, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if I have some if there's any way that Trump could resist that or what he should do exactly. I don't know whether that's going to sway his thoughts or not, but I'm gravely concerned about that. I know we have what we see taking place is the Trump effect that's bringing this about. But all of a sudden now, Mark Zuckerberg, for example, I've just listed and reading article after article after article, listed several things that Zuckerberg has openly said. Zuckerberg, for example, admitted that the fact checkers were indeed censoring free speech. He's openly admitted that they censored free speech under the guise of misinformation and disinformation. Zuckerberg said that the Biden administration pushed and pressured Facebook to censor free speech, and they did it. Zuckerberg now admits that his social media platforms were censoring conservatives and Christian free speech. And I could go on and on and on. With that admission, should there be some prosecution? Should there be some reprisal? Should there be some retaliation? Should there be some redress from the general public, from Christians, etc.? And I'll add this little footnote, then get your response, Bob. There are doctors across America that were put out of practice because of telling the truth about the COVID jab. It was called disinformation and misinformation, and because it was upheld as misinformation and disinformation via the social media platforms, all of a sudden the medical board started looking at it, well, these doctors are bad people. We need to take their license, put them out of practice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We had businesses across America that were shut down as a result of COVID, and yet when it was the quote, the science was challenged, then Sir Anthony Fauci said that's science, and anything else, according to Dr. Fauci, anything against what Fauci said was being against science. It was anti-science. Therefore, that was held up by Mark Zuckerberg on his social platforms and others, and as a result of that, it stopped the mouths of the truth-tellers that I believe was major part and parcel of the end result of the devastation, the dying, and the sterilization and the weaponization that was used by the COVID-19 lie. What are your thoughts? Should there be redress? Should we, the people, have a recourse? Should there be an opportunity for a hearing in the courts of law after Mark Zuckerberg's admitting all of this? How should we take it?
If it was up to me, I would have another Nuremberg trial. Put all these people up there and hang them. That's what I would.
I think you're probably right, Bob. I think it's time, though, that people recognize we've been had. We've been called liars. Marxist media focus and pointing their body. In fact, the Marxist media would take whatever was said on social media platforms, that would become the, quote, fact checkers from the standpoint of the Marxist media. I wonder what CNN's going to say now. I wonder what MSNBC's going to say now. ABC, NBC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bob, thank you so much for your call. It deserves our prayer and our recognition that at least we're seeing some reprieve from what has taken place. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump into the dialogue and discussion today, we're talking about, is our freedom of speech really free? Or can it be bought? Can the freedom of speech be bought? Is it possible to have these large, gigantic billionaires with their social media platforms that's above the Constitution, above our Bill of Rights, that somehow, some way say that they can do that? And we've got to take, by the way, saying that, I recall the fact that government, and this is what they weighed, the weight was on, ladies and gentlemen, the social media platforms. They say that they were not guilty of violating the First Amendment. And here's the point. It says that the government cannot in any way violate our freedom of speech. So therefore, the government didn't do it. The government's hands are clean, supposedly. But it's the government that behind the scenes was telling Mark Zuckerberg and others what they could do, could not do, and the disinformation and misinformation, basically loudly screaming, not whispering, loudly screaming in the ears of Mark Zuckerberg and others, telling them what they must do if they wanted to remain free themselves to continue their social media platforms. How much of that will come out in the future? Will we really know the end result totally of what has taken place? Zuckerberg now admits that his social media platforms were censoring conservative and Christian free speech. Zuckerberg said that, quote, senior officials, this is a quote from Mark Zuckerberg, senior officials from the Biden administration repeatedly pressured us to censor any COVID-19 content that the government did not like, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine the millions of people that died from the deathly COVID jab? The millions of people that were sterilized are paralyzed as a result of the COVID death jab. And we had medical doctors and real scientists, not Fauci, phony, false scientists, voodoo science. By the way, Fauci said on one occasion when asked the question, where is the science behind the social distancing of 6 feet? And he said, well, it just kind of came to me. Where's the science behind that? And yet when it was challenged on some of the media platforms, it was censored as being false information, disinformation, misinformation. I don't know about you, but I'm a little uptight with it. I'm extremely bothered by it. I've said for quite a number of years now that we've been censored. Our text messages are censored. Our emails are censored. Our telephone calls are listened to, violation of our freedom of speech being censored. Ladies and gentlemen, America has grown to the point, it devolved to the point, I should say, of being very much like the socialist communist system in China, where nothing is secret, nothing is said that the government does not know. Everything is cameraed so that you're watched every moment of your life. Everything that you say on any telephone in China is monitored, and you're censored. And if you do not do what the government says, then you cannot buy a car, you cannot rent a car, you cannot rent an apartment, you cannot get a plane ticket any place, etc., etc., where the public are all, in fact, generally speaking, totally censored and controlled. And our nation, America, up until the new sheriff in town, up until we find today where everybody has the Trump effect, until recently, the very recent few days, we have found the move in America going toward the Marxist communist system of total 100% censorship that's found in China and other communist nations around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, Zuckerberg admitted that the so-called fact checkers were in fact censoring free speech. They were not fact checking. They were not checking the details and the facts on any statement. They were simply following the leader, which was Joe Biden and his Marxist communist team of government thugs with badges to tell the social media platforms what they could and could not have said. Zuckerberg admitted that the censorship, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Zuckerberg with Meta, that's the parent company now of Instagram and Facebook, Zuckerberg admitted that the censorship started in 2016 after Trump's election to manage, for the purpose of managing misinformation and disinformation. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding today, in open admission from Mark Zuckerberg and others of social media platform operators, they're openly admitting that our free speech has been countered, it's been infringed upon, it's been censored at the very highest levels coming out of the Oval Office, directed by Joe Biden and his thugs with badges that did not want the American people to know the truth. Could it be that we have today those that have been persecuted and prosecuted by challenging the 2020 election and saying it was fraudulent, presenting documents and information and evidence that we had a stolen election by Joe Biden in 2020, and yet social media platforms said in fact-checking, that's not correct, it is not true whatsoever. For example, the latest of that comes to mind, when President Trump was in a debate with Joe Biden prior to Kamala Harris coming into the picture as the candidate. President Trump said that the ones that were coming in some of the little towns in Ohio, et cetera, that they were eating the pets. and all of a sudden the ones that were supposed to be moderating the debate said, you know, fact checkers said that's not true. That was a lie because it was factual. It was true before it was censored by the fact checkers, even with the moderators for the debate, that that was taking place. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find today where Mark Zuckerberg is now admitting that that all started when Donald Trump was first elected. I'm looking at an article. Jonathan Turley, the renowned constitutionalist attorney, Jonathan Turley says Meta's Zuckerberg makes a free speech move that could be truly transformational. Until tech billionaire Elon Musk bought Twitter, now called X, we were losing ground around the world to an unprecedented anti-free speech coalition of government, corporate entities, media, and the academic interest. Mark Zuckerberg, in his interview, announced that the company would adopt X, that is Twitter, standards and restore free speech protections across Facebook, Instagram, and all of the other Meta platforms. Meta ends fact-checking programs as Zuckerberg vows to restore free speech on Facebook and Instagram. This article reads further. In the last few years, a mix of House investigations and litigation has focused more on the censorship system under the Biden administration and brought it into public view. That is expected to draw even greater attention with the continued discovery in Missouri versus Biden, showing years of false statements about the extent of this government's corporate alliance across social media platforms. Quote, while Zuckerberg portrayed Meta as an unwilling partner in this censorship system in his video on Tuesday, he and his company ignored several years of objections from many of us regarding the critical role the company plays in targeting and censoring all opposing viewpoints. Goes on to say, while Zuckerberg portrayed Meta as an unwilling partner in this censorship system, he and his company ignored several years that his objections going forth. Meta's chief global affairs officer, Joel Kaplan, admitted that the Trump election changed. Listen, he admitted that the Trump election changed the situation for the technology company. We have a new administration coming in that is far from pressuring companies to censor a huge supporter of free speech expression, etc. In other words, as I've said, a new sheriff's in town. It's the Trump effect. They're recognizing that Trump is not going to allow, in the leadership as president, not going to allow the censorship of free speech. And so they're trying to make the changes now before he's inaugurated on January the 20th. Ladies and gentlemen, just consider the number of lives and careers and livelihoods that have been totally harmed or completely wiped out and destroyed as a result of the so-called fact checkers about whether it's true or false. Multitudes have lost their livelihoods. Multitudes have lost their living and their income as a result of being deplatformed, as a result of being taken off and called fraudulent, phony disinformation and misinformation. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that we find the Biden-Harris multitudes of votes, I believe, for Biden-Harris and against Trump was due to the lies of the Marxist media, the social media platforms. I believe that we need hundreds, as I said a moment ago, we need hundreds of thousands of people to join together in a class action suit against Zuckerberg and the other censorship by the social media platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, our national political spiritual leadership makes a difference in the direction of any nation. I believe we ought to be set up and recognized and be grateful today for God's divine intervention once again and re-electing President Donald J. Trump. But listen, America must get back what I call biblical principles, morals, ethics, and values if we want to see a change. I'm looking at a major, massive article, and this article title is Christian America at the Crossroads. Despite President Trump's stunning re-election victory, America remains engaged in what amounts to an ongoing civilizational war a war not merely political in nature, but cultural, ideological, philosophical, and ultimately spiritual. A long-term struggle between forces of decency, morality, and sanity on one side, and astonishing deception and evil on the other side. And to jump right down to the bottom line, it is the Christian church in America that will either win or lose this war. After all, while their numbers have been somewhat declining in the years, casualties in the ongoing war, fully 2 out of every 3 Americans today claim to identify as Christians. But the statistics itself focuses on a totally different question. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is where I want to go. This is what I want us to understand. We can say we're grateful for Trump's being elected. We're thankful that God divinely intervened. But listen very carefully. The national political leader, the national spiritual leaders make the difference in the direction of any nation. And it's in the hands of the Christians, the Christian church, to make the difference. I'm delighted. I'm happy. I'm thankful that most, if not all, of the appointees for the cabinet for Donald J. Trump are at least God-fearers, whether they are Christians or not. Most of them are claiming to be a Christian, whether they are truly or not. Only God knows. But I'm thankful that that's making a difference in the direction as the nation sees it and making adjustments accordingly. I'm looking at this article. If the overwhelming majority of Americans are Bible-believing followers of Jesus, how then can it be legal in such de facto Christian nation to amputate the breast and sexual organs of literally thousands of confused children who are being encouraged from many directions to believe they're trapped in the wrong body? How can it be legal to butcher thousands of beautiful, sacred, fully formed, pain-feeling human babies weeks before they would have been born? How can after-school Satan clubs sponsored by an explicitly satanic organization be permitted in our public schools across the land? How can the nation's toddlers be subjected to drag queen story hours and the events in the libraries during which they are required to sit at the feet of demonically possessed and controlled men dressed as women and sometimes dressed as demons who seduce and corrupt the innocents by regarding reeling them in the exciting tales of historic homosexual and transgender youth. While Christians are winning a few, hear me, while Christians are winning a few crucial battles, most critically the life or death re-election of Donald Trump, they're losing most others. In truth, many Christians are either entirely absent from the battlefield or worse, they have sided with the enemy, this writer says. It goes on for 4 decades shortly before he died. Theologian and author Francis Schaeffer, widely regarded as one of the most influential evangelical thinkers of the 20th century, said most of the evangelical world has been active in the battle, Schaeffer lamented, or even been able to see that we are in a battle. And when it comes down to the issues of the day, the evangelical world most often, he said, according to this, is worse. He said, nothing different from what the world would say or do. Schaeffer concluded, here's the great evangelical disaster. The failure of the evangelical world to stand for truth. Stand for truth. There's only one word for this, namely accommodation to the world system, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that this is not new. This is not something that's brand new. I go back to the scripture, and I touched on it in the broadcast yesterday, 2 Kings chapter 22. The Bible is very clear. A new king came into power, and verse 2 of chapter 22, 2 Kings, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Ladies and gentlemen, when we put a man in office as president that is going to take a stand for morals and ethics and values, that's going to take a stand for truth and say that we need to have truth matter in our lives, we need to pray for that individual and ask God to give strength and wisdom. a good king goes into office, and as a result of that, according to the biblical text, he honors God, and the people have revival, according to the balance of the entire chapter of 2 Kings chapter 22. I believe it's time that we recognize what we're up against as a nation, that we realize that God has given us reprieve, at least for a brief period of time, and what we do with it and how we handle it makes the difference. I'm looking at the Decision Magazine, the January 2025 issue. And on page 2, I'm going to read a portion of page 2 and 3 in our closing remarks. This writer says, it's Franklin Graham writing, pray for Donald Trump, he says, in the coming months, there will continue to be enemies that threaten our nation around the world and even here at home, and challenges will confront the Trump administration. That's why more than ever, the president needs the prayers of God's people on his behalf. The Bible clearly says prayer is vital to the success of the leadership. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 1, 2, and 3. Then it goes on to say, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, that the people has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalms 33:10, 10:11-12. Then Franklin Graham says, first and foremost, pray that President Trump and his advisors will blend their hearts toward God and humbly seek his will. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns them wherever he wishes, Proverbs 21:1. Then he says, pray for President Trump, that will all of those that will surround him with men and women who give him godly counsel. No one person has enough wisdom to always make the right decision. He goes on to say, so pray. Pray fervently. Pray diligently. Put all your hope in God, who sent his son to die for our sins. On the third day was raised again from the dead. He alone is worthy. He alone rules over all the kings of all the world. He goes on to say, pray that the Lord will protect Trump from harm. There are plenty of adversaries around the world who would love nothing more than to see the president fail, not to mention our adversary, the devil, who especially targets those in leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There's not a nation on the face of the globe that will rise any higher than its political and spiritual leadership. Look at the UK. About 2% say they are Christians. Look at the nation of Canada, where the Trudeau has just resigned. Less than a 16% public approval. And now about 62% of the Canadians say they'd love to be a part of America and to live in America, not Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for our president. But we need to pray for spiritual leadership in America that will turn back to God, turn back to his word, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. God bless you today.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink